Well, you know, tonight I really feel like the word of the Lord is pertinent for somebody that's here. Because I really sensed it in my spirit as I was preparing for the message tonight. And it has to do with something very, very powerful, and that is your journey in Christ and fulfilling God's purpose and plan for your life. You know, when you think about climbing the stairs, do you know where the world's largest staircase resides? I mean, the world's largest, we're talking 11,674 steps. It's actually in Nissenbaum Funicular, Sweden. They're located at the face of Mount Nissen, which is nicknamed the Swiss Pyramid because of its triangular shape. The stairs actually are closed all year long, but open one day for an event that is called Nissen Tripolov, which is explaining that there is an annual race up 11,674 steps. That is 5,390 feet up if you were counting it. How would you get to the top of those stairs? Huffing and puffing, one step at a time. Can I hear an amen? But you know, when you think about it, our journey in Christ is really one step at a time. It is recognizing that God will lead you a step at a time, not leaps, not jumps, but one step at a time. If you think too far ahead, if you were walking that staircase or running it, maybe you got to the 6,000 step and all of a sudden you think, whoa, I've got 5,674 more steps left. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? I mean, we get to thinking about our future and we look so far off that we just kind of get shut down and we've stopped taking the one step that's next in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss one step God has for me. I don't want to look too far in the future that I see things that I don't really understand or hasn't been revealed and miss the one step God has for me right now in my life. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 reads this, "In his heart a man plans his counsel," or his course. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so the big picture here is dreams don't come to pass overnight. So you must be patient. Start moving in a positive direction and take steps of obedience. Have more than good intentions, but become a doer of the word and let God direct your steps. The key to a fruitful, victorious Christian life is obedience to the leading of God, one step at a time. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray in the next few moments that your Holy Spirit would find good ground and apply it to each and every heart present. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do tonight. Open the eyes of our heart and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, everybody said. It was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. who said, "You don't have to see the whole staircase just to take the first step." It's been written, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step." Another proverb says, "One step at a time is good walking." To get through the hardest journey, we need only take one step at a time, but we must keep on stepping. Sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step of our life. Tiptoe if you must, but take the step. You will get there. Don't rush your process. There are plenty of lessons to learn along the way. Trust that the Lord will guide you as you go. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24, the New Living Translation reads this way, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." I mean, know the Lord's holding your hand tonight, and he's ready to take you to the next step. You see, God grows us up one step at a time. We want to make leaps. We want to make big jumps. We want things to change dramatically. But God said, all I'm asking for you is to take the next step I have for you. You know, when it came time for Israel to come out of Egyptian bondage, the Bible says God didn't lead them the shortest way because he had some other steps for them to grow in the process. Listen to this from the Living Paraphrase, Exodus 13 and verse 17. So at last Pharaoh let the people go, but God did not lead them through the land of the Philistines, although that was the most direct route from Egypt to the promised land. It would have been shorter. It would have been quicker. But the reason was that God felt that the people might become discouraged by having to fight their way through. Even though they had left Egypt armed, he thought they might return to Egypt. Instead, God led them along a route through the Red Sea wilderness. You see, every step, it doesn't mean they're easy. God's in the process, and he's wanting to grow us up and to teach us and to develop character in our life. It's one step of victory at a time. Deuteronomy 7, verse 22, in their journey to the promised land, the Lord says, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. How many can say you have more victory in your life tonight than you've ever had before? But how many could also say, I still got some victory yet to come? How many want your victory to get bigger and fuller in your life? How many want to absolutely have dominion and authority in every area of your life? Hallelujah. That's the plan that God has for us. It's not that we don't ever get to those places, but we come in and out because we need to take those steps. Little by little, you will be unable to destroy them at once, the Lord says, lest the beast of the field become too numerous for you. Isn't that interesting? God said, if I just gave you victory over every enemy in the promised land, then there would be so many wild beasts would arise, you wouldn't know how to handle it. I mean, you know, God knows what you can handle and when you can handle it. So don't be anxious or frustrated where you're at right now in your journey. Look up to heaven and say, I put my hand in your hand, Lord, one step at a time. When God led his people into the promised land, he did it step by step. In so doing, God taught his people to trust him step by step. He gave them only as much responsibility as they could handle at a time. And so as God leads us in our Christian growth, he will allow challenges to match your character, the relationship to him. God will not totally change your character overnight, but he will lead you through a process to become more like his son. He will keep working in different areas of your life until it is controlled by the Holy Spirit. God doesn't take shortcuts in leading us through this process to become more like his son. He sees our life from eternity and what it will take as long as it is necessary to produce in us lasting spiritual growth. Listen, you are in training for reigning. You are in schooling for ruling. And God, step by step, it's going to get you and I to the place where we can reign with his son on a new earth. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God could instantly transform us if he wanted to, couldn't he? I mean, we could come to Christ and God could just move his mighty power and we would be instantly transformed in character and in development. But he doesn't. Why does it take so long to change and to grow? There are several reasons. I want to just give you four quickly tonight. We are slow learners. How many know we have to often have to learn the same lesson 40 to 50 times or more? The problems keep reoccurring and we think not again. Somebody said, you know, you're not too bad off if you've got new problems this year, but if you're facing the old ones that you had last year, you need to keep growing. Amen. The history of Israel illustrates how quickly we forget the lessons that God teaches us and how soon we revert to our old patterns of behavior. We need repeated exposure. But number two, we have a lot to unlearn. Since most of our problems and all of our bad habits don't develop overnight, it's unrealistic to expect that they'll completely be gone from us immediately. There is no pill, no prayer, or principle that will instantly undo the damage of many years. It requires hard work, the dying to self, to nailing it to the cross, the removal and replacement of the old with the new. It's putting off the old man and putting on the new man. I'm walking with God. Thirdly, growth is often painful, and it can be scary. But there is no growth without change. How many know for you and I to get better, we got to make some changes. But old changes aren't easy, are they? We struggle with them. And then fourthly, good habits take time to develop. Remember that your character is a sum total of your habits. You can't claim to be kind unless you are habitually kind. Your habits define your character. There's only one way to develop the habits of Christ-like character. You must practice them, and that takes time. There are no instant habits. Paul urged Timothy in chapter 4, verse 15, the God's Word translation says, practice these things, devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Are you more like Christ tonight than you were this time last year? Think about it. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned over Saul long enough. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. Wow, that's some information, but it's not the whole package, is it? I mean, is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I would love to take one quick look at my file in heaven. I would just like to go through my file, stop at the P's, and just take a quick look. That's all I want. I don't need to take it home with me. I would just like a quick look. Why doesn't God show us that? Because in our arrogance, we would want to change some of the things, wouldn't we? See, Lord, you know, I like this, but I don't like that. I really don't like this at all. So how can we change that? Because I want to get to that. And God said, well, you got to go through that in order to get to that. Is anybody hearing this tonight? I wish I could say throughout my life I've always had a detailed blueprint of everything I should do. But it hasn't been that way. I've never had a day that started when I got up that I heard the theme song from Mission Impossible playing in the background. And then a voice say out loud, good morning, this is God. Here is your mission for today. No, for the most part, it's been steps of faith based on his word. That still small voice of the Spirit, one step at a time. Little did I know what God had in mind for a ministry called Bargain World. It was a step of faith. Could we take a former insurance building, and could we as a congregation supply enough items that we could sell as a thrift store? And could we be able to make enough money that we would impact the world? Wow, what a step of faith. What if people don't give, the enemy said? What if people don't bring their items? What if people don't come to purchase them? There was someone that said, you're not going to do any good selling $1 or $2 or $3 items. Can I tell you, after almost 8 years of ministry of Bargain World, this year we will complete the 18th church planted around the world through the ministry of Bargain World. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One step at a time. It's taking those steps of faith. It's interesting when God told Samuel that he had chosen a new king to reign over Israel. The Lord had not revealed to Samuel exactly who it was. But God basically said to him, go to Bethlehem and I'll tell you what to do after that. That's exactly what Samuel did. He didn't know which one of Jesse's sons was going to be crowned, and they were all parading themselves, and none of them moved the heart of Samuel. But then God said, he's out back with a sheep named David. David ran in the back door with sheep dung on his boots, and God said, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. He'll be a man after my own heart. Poured the horn of oil over David, and the Spirit of God came upon a shepherd boy named David. Now, isn't it interesting that David, for 7 years, his steps were ordered. It started out victorious, killing Goliath, but then he fled from Saul and had to hide like a common criminal for nearly 7 years of his life, but he never got ahead of God's plan. He took it step at a time. I'm telling you, you need to hear this tonight. Don't be discouraged. Don't be frustrated because things aren't moving as you think they should or things haven't developed as you thought they should. Stay in step with God's leading. He will get you to where he wants you to go. When the Lord told Philip to go to the desert, he'd been preaching the gospel in Samaria. Revival broke out. People were coming to faith. Miracles were happening. And Philip could have asked, why? Why should I go to the desert? Who am I going to preach to, camels or lizards? But Philip didn't ask those questions. He simply went. In fact, the Bible says his willingness, God transported him. And there he was joined the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch who received the gospel, reading the book of Isaiah and through the witness of Philip. It's believed that that Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel to Ethiopia and God began to change thousands of people's lives. God led Samuel and Philip one step at a time, and that is the typical of how God leads us. God's ways become plain when we start walking in it. If God has already shown you to do something and you haven't done it, then don't ask him to show you something new. Go back and do what he told you to do. Obedience to revealed truth guarantees guidance in matters unrevealed. Jesus put it like this, if anyone will do my will, he shall know the doctrine that's within it, or the essence of God's will. And so it is in the step of faith that you get more revelation from him. I'm going to ask Bob if he'd come on up to the piano. That one step of faith, never underestimate the power of it, regardless of how unsuccessful it may seem at the moment. We'll close with this little story tonight. Stephen Grellet was a well-known Quaker preacher of the 19th century, but he didn't start out that way. He was a French nobleman, literally was a bodyguard for King Louis XVI. Then the revolution broke out in France, and he fled for his life because they had come to put him under arrest. Coming to the U.S., he receives Christ and becomes a Quaker. His heart is stirred. He's being led by God. He is preaching wherever he goes. He's married and has a family. And one time as he was passing through in the Northeast, he went through some logging areas and came across some lumberjacks that were rough and crude, and his heart was stirred. He went on his way, and several days after that, the Spirit of God told him to go into the woods and preach the gospel to those lumbermen. So there he heads, 3 days' journey into the forest. He comes to this great big logging camp, and they have a large wooden hut that they had built, but there's not a soul to be found. He walks into this large hut, and he's just thinking to himself, God, why have you brought me here? There's no one here. All of the men had gone a further journey, and they were cutting down logs. No one was there. Should he preach when there's no one to listen? But God said, give your message because it's my message. He stands up in the front of that logging hut and he preaches the gospel. How that because of sin, a wall has come between us and God. But God loved us so much, he sent his son to destroy that wall and to tear it down so that we would have access to God. We're like lost sheep, and the shepherd, Jesus Christ, is looking for us. He preached his heart out. He said, I felt a powerful stir of the Spirit of God as I spoke. He said, when I concluded, I sat down, and I noticed a mug sitting on a chair. I walked over and picked it up. Flashbacks of his French nobility came were the niceties of life, and there was an old crack, ugly-looking mug. Feeling as though maybe he had not accomplished what God really wanted him to. But then, after prayer, had peace in his heart. 6 years later, Stephen Grellet is in London. He's walking across the London Bridge. He's preaching in prisons and places all in London. And as he's walking the bridge, he feels a grab on his arm. And in a gruff voice, a man said, "I finally found you." And he turns around and says, "Sir, do I know you?" He said, "Do you know me?" He said, "I've been waiting for years. I have looked for you." And then Mr. Grellet said, "You must have me mistaken for someone else." And he said, "I know it's you. I have finally found you." And he said, "That day you preached in the woods, you thought no one was there. But I had come back for a lever, a tool. When I heard you preaching, I was drawn. But I was too afraid to go in. I stood outside and I peered through the cracks of that wood hut. And when you preached, your message went through the wood of that hut into a heart that was harder than that wood. And I was never the same." He said, "I went back to where the men were at and I got a Bible and I started reading them. I found that story that you said about the lost sheep." And he said, "I started talking to all my fellow workers." He said, "I wouldn't let up on them. I wouldn't give in to them. I stayed on them." And he said, "Sir, 1,000 men have received the Good Shepherd." Hallelujah. And 3 of those men had gone to become missionaries themselves. Our steps are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in our way. I don't want to miss a step. I don't want to get so overwhelmed with the obstacles that appear that I refuse to take that one step. We can't do it, but we can take a step, amen? We can't accomplish it, but we can take a step because we serve a God who can accomplish it. Amen. Our ushers coming tonight in service communion. Let's open our hearts to the steps that God has for us this moment in our life.